Amen? That was good. What's even better, or at least as good, is that I remembered to turn on my mic this morning without being waved at. I was thinking, I felt the heat come on. Did you all feel the heat come on? And it reminded me, first church I ever had, I was visiting with a lady, probably in her 80s. I don't remember exactly how old she was. And as we were talking, she said, well, I want to become a member of the church. And she had accepted Christ, but not ever followed in baptism. And that was one of the qualifications for joining our church. And so we talked about it a little bit, 80 years old, and she said, if that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. And I said, okay. Well, we were building a building, and we didn't have our baptistry finished yet. So I called a church that was fairly nearby, about 20 miles away, and I said, could we borrow your baptistry on a Sunday afternoon? Sure, no problem. So we showed up Sunday afternoon, probably about 2 o'clock, something like that, a big bunch of us. And the heat had gone off in their building the night before. And the pastor told me that they had broken ice off the baptistry that morning just for us. The heat was still not on. That water was cold. And I looked at her and I said, Cora, we can wait. And she said, I'm not waiting. And so I did 4 baptisms that day, but man, I'm telling you what, I was thankful I had waiters. Because, man, those guys would come down in, I'd baptize them, and we'd get them back out as quick as we could. But it just goes to show, when God speaks, we need to listen. Amen? When God speaks, we need to listen. And that's kind of what I shared a little bit about last time when I was here and going to continue on. I told you last time, 2 weeks ago when I was here, that I'd started to put together and kind of revamp and pull together some more material on the Word of God and really what that's all about. And it might turn into a series, and it might not turn into a series. And several of you came up afterwards and said you hoped that it did. And so you're getting at least one more installment, okay? We'll see where it goes from here and what God wants to do. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about, and I want to review just briefly because I want it to flow into where we're going to go today. A couple weeks ago, we talked about creation being the unique work of God's Word. Anybody remember what that word was? We all said it kind of together. Bara. It's kind of a fun, you want to try it again? Bara. It's kind of fun to say it like that, isn't it? Kind of deep and powerful. And the reason that that is important for us to grasp and remember is that that is the only time that it is used and the only person that it's ever used toward, the only subject of bara is God. Because God is the only one that can create out of nothing. I have one of the most creative wives you've ever want to meet. Wonderful, artistic, creative. She calls it turning the pages. She just turns pages until she comes up with something she wants to do, and boom, there it is. And I'm just always amazed at how stuff turns out. But she is not Bara. It is only used of God. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Genesis. You don't need to turn there. We're going to fly through this. The still review. Chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, verse 3 says, "Then God said." You remember that? "Then God said." Verse 6, "Then God said." Verse 9, "Then God said." Verse 11, "Then God said." Verse 14, "Then God said." Verse 20, "Then God said." Verse 24, "Then God said." Then verse 26, "Then God said." The Word of God creates. A foundational teaching of the Bible is that God speaks and does so with universe-changing authority. Bara! And He changed the whole universe. And God is still in the business of change. God is still in the business of speaking His Word to mankind. That's what we're doing today. Amen? That's what you do every morning or every evening or every noontime. You get a word from God. Amen? Some of you aren't as keen on saying amen right there. So, last week, I was speaking at a church. Saturday before, I'd driven up there and spent the night, had some dinner with a man that is an elder in another church, old friend of mine. And as we were talking, one of the things that came up was about feelings. And we have a habit of saying, "I feel led to do this." Amen? You hear that a lot in Christian context. And so I stopped him and I said, "What do you mean, feel? Let's get rid of the feelings when it comes to God's direction." You don't find that in Scripture. Amen? Some of you are not quite sure. Some of you are going, "I don't know where he's going with this." We'll find out. But it is so easy to fall into that trap. So I'm gonna begin with these three thoughts. And then I'm going to clarify as we go through Scripture. Fact, faith, and then feeling. Okay? The fact of God's Word in which we base our faith and then comes our feelings. Feelings are not wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm saying get rid of them as far as direction from God. Why, if God is going to give you direction, why would He use the shallowest part of your human emotions and will, that is feelings? Why would He use that shallowest part to do His deepest work? Doesn't make sense, does it? And yet, what do we fall into? We fall into the world's way of making decisions, and that is how we feel at the moment. And I'm telling you, bad pizza can change the direction of your life if that's the way that you're operating. Amen? Fact, faith, and then feeling. Let me give you some examples. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Not by how I feel, not by how the priest felt, not by any of the stuff that we sometimes try to make out as God's direction for our lives, or God's direction for this thing or that thing. What it says is that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Period. Not from circumstances, not from feelings. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Let me put it in context with you and read the verse before and the verse after. It says, however, they did not all, this is talking about the Israelites, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. But I say, this is Paul, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? And Paul says, indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. So faith comes, and I'm gonna insert a word for clarity here. Faith comes from obedient hearing. Okay? Because many times, like our children, we can hear and not be obedient. Right? So faith comes from obedient hearing. Let's look at it in another place. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, as this chapter is called. In verse 3 it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared before by the Word of God. We just saw that. Amen. Read the Scriptures, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. How did Paul know that? Or the Hebrew writer, whoever that was. How did he know that? He wasn't a scientist. Nobody really knew even about germs in that day and time. And yet, God's Holy Spirit, the Word of God, instructed him to say, all of this that was made out of nothing that we know or can see. Isn't that cool? In another place it says this. Oh, it goes on. In verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. Now listen. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I love that part. Because that's not us. We got to know the answers. Amen? The biggest thing for us is, why? We want to know why God did this. We want to know why mosquitoes. We want to know why all these other things. And Abraham, when he was 75 years old, God said, I want you to go pack up everything. And listen, he had a great deal. Pack up everything and take off. And Abram did not say, why? Where are we going? Are we almost there yet? In fact, in verse 4 of Genesis 12, you don't need to turn there, I'm not camping. In verse 4, it says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He got a word from God, and he did what God told him to do, not knowing where he was going. Now let me give you a little background, because I think this is pretty interesting. I didn't go back and do all this research. I found this, and it was so cool. I went, wow! Okay, it's not up there. So I'm going to read this to you. You need to listen carefully. Terah was Abraham's father. Terah lived to be 202 years old. After the flood, I just wrote this down. After the flood, the number of years people lived began to dwindle, and this meant that Terah knew his however many great grandfathers back was Noah, who built the ark. If one takes the genealogical records at face value, with no gaps existing, then it is believed that Shem, Noah's son, lived until after Terah's death. In fact, even Noah himself lived until after Terah's death. Terah was 128 years old when Noah died. Now I'm going to show you how amazing that is in just a minute. But that also meant that Abram, as he was known then, was 58 years old when Noah died. That is the equivalent of having a direct lineage grandpa. Not from the 1800s. And not from the 1700s. And not from the 1600s. Not even from the 1500s. But from the early 1400s. That would have meant that Abraham, I don't know that he did, we never read that, but Abraham could have talked with his great, 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 whatever it is, grandpa Noah. I mean, that's before Columbus was born, right? Now, I'm not talking about Noah, I'm talking about us. That would be like having direct lineage to somebody before Columbus was born that you could talk to. Now, some of you talk to people like that that aren't there, but that's not what this is talking about. That's interesting to me on two different levels. We have Noah receiving and acting upon a word from God. Amen. Noah, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? What's rain? Right? Bible tells us it hadn't even rained by then. Noah just did what God said. God's word came to Noah. Noah said, I have no idea what an ark is. If you teach me how to build it, I'll build it. And God said, if you build it, they will come. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding. Years later, we have Abram, Noah's great, 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 however many, grandson, following in his grandfather's footsteps. And I can kind of imagine Noah saying to his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, if God speaks, do what he says. And I can imagine them saying to their sons, if God speaks, do what he says. All the way down, maybe even Noah saying to Abram, when Abram went to his great, 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 however many, grandpa, and said, Grandpa, got this weird thing. God said for me to pick up and move. Can you imagine Noah going, then move. Whatever God says, son, no matter how weird, you do. And it will be life-changing for you. Isn't that cool? I just thought that the juxtaposition in time frame, wow, was so good, so powerful to even think of them talking back and forth together. And then another example that I want us to look at is in Ezekiel chapter 37. I am going to camp here for a little while, so if you know where Ezekiel is, you'll even have time to look for it in the index and get there before I'm out of here. Okay? Ezekiel and chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Then the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, set me down in the middle of the valley, and was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many bones on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Listen, then he said to me, Ezekiel got a word from God. Amen? Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel's looking around going, if you say so, I don't have any way of getting them to live. A little bit farther on down, in verse 4 it says, and he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear what? Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Are you getting the idea here? Why? The end of verse 6 says, so that you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel says, so? I prophesied. Obedient hearing, right? Can you imagine being in this big valley, probably been a big war, lots of people died there, didn't get buried, all the bones from all of the men from both sides had died, and they're all laying there, piled up all over this great big valley. And God said, okay, Ezekiel, preach to the bones. Now, it'd be just like us to go, why? But Ezekiel said, so I began to preach to the bones. Bones, listen, hear the word of God. Not my words. Amen? And some of you, when you've left, you've said to the preacher, you've said to me, man, you really stepped on my toes today. And I'm telling, if your toes got stepped on, it was not because of the preacher. It was because of the word of God. If God has convicted you and moved you, last week this guy came up to me and he said, Pastor Steve, it hasn't happened in a long time, but God moved me today. Wow. But that is the correct response. God's word should move us into obedient hearing. Prophesy to the wind. Can you imagine standing out there and he's saying, thus has this is the word from God. And he begins to prophesy to the bones, and all of a sudden there's this clicking, clacking, things are happening out there. The bones start crawling toward each other, and they knit back together, and they begin to kind of stand up and move around and click, 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 click. Can you? I mean, that would just scare the snot out of you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't me. I mean, talk about your horror films. A And then he said, call the wind. Prophesy to the wind. And he called the wind and began to prophesy to the wind. Thus saith the Lord, enter into these dry bones. And they became living beings. Holy smokerinos. And not just one or two, but a huge, huge army. Wow. The fact of God's word put together with the obedient hearing, faith, amen, produces the results that God ordained. At no time did God ever say to Ezekiel or Abram or Noah, hey, if you feel like it, amen? And I would imagine that there were times when they did not feel like it. The ridicule that Noah got from his neighbors and his friends, Ezekiel standing out in a graveyard, seeing all those bones come together, I'm thinking he's going, this is not a very comfortable place for a Hebrew man. Let me talk just a minute before we move on too far about the word prophecy or prophesy. Because oftentimes, in fact is most of the time, when we talk about prophecy, people think that it is foretelling the future. It is not. Did y'all hear me say that? The basic thought in prophesy is to foretell God's word. It is to foretell God's word to a specific people at a specific time for a specific event, if you will. Sometimes that's in the future. That's fine. But it is not always in the future. When Ezekiel was standing before the bones, he didn't say, in 100 years, God's going to raise up these guys and put the bones back together. Amen? God said, tell them. Ezekiel said, okay. And it happened. It was just that quick. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. And then I want us to look at another scripture this morning that I think is important, if I can find it. Where am I supposed to be now? Farther down. Let me go into, I'm going to skip some of this because I'm seeing that I'm kind of out of time already. So in looking at this, you guys are without a pastor right now. It is not good enough for the preacher to come before God's people on a Sunday, on the gathering time of God's people, with just another Sunday school lesson. You want your man of God to come before you with a word of God. And the only way that that'll happen is if you are listening, praying for your pastor search team, God, allow them to get your man who we can hear your word from. Had a man come, I was over in Swatch yesterday at a meeting, and had a man come to me about another church, and he said, you know, the new preacher that we have, people are just leaving by the droves because all he does is give us a seminary lesson every Sunday. People don't even understand the words. It's not enough to do a Sunday school lesson. Get a word from God and prophesy to the people. This is God's word for you today. Allow the Holy Spirit then to resonate, to engage, to empower. And don't be satisfied with anything less. Don't be a settler. And those are people that just kind of settle for anything. We want a man of God who comes with a word of God for us. Sunday school is good. Y'all hear me say this. Sunday school is good. Small groups are good. Bible studies are good. I love to do all that. Churches cannot thrive without that. But that is not this. And never should be, but it's turned out to be that way. We need to understand, in its biblical sense, the concept, the reality of the Word of God in its awesome, incredible, universe-changing authority is an awesome wonder to our limited understanding. I can't comprehend it. I know it to be true. Therefore, I operate by faith, no matter how I feel. The Word of God continues today. We have the written, revealed Word of God. Amen? I want you to understand that I am not advocating each one of us doing our own thing, because that's a big deal right now. Well, I got a word from God. Well, your word doesn't match anything in this word. So I'm sorry. I can't flow with your word when it contradicts His word. But have you ever been reading through the Scriptures, something that maybe you've read many, many times before, and this time it seems to attack your eyeballs? You know, where it's standing out about that far from the page, and you're going, oh, whoa, I haven't seen that before. Now, when you're my age, that happens all the time. Even if you have seen it, even if you've preached on it last week, wow, something brand new. But that is God speaking through His Word to your heart. It's not just added information. It is a powerful, universe-changing word from God for you. Let me share one verse like that with you, and then I'm going to close. John chapter 3, verse 16. Anybody know that? For God so loved the world. God did what? He loved the world. That's not the world. What the world's telling us. Amen? God's a mean God. God just created and left. God's a wrathful, vengeful, punishing God. And there are times when we can feel that way, right? But His Word says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever does all the right things, goes to church every Sunday, is a member of the choir, smiles a lot, and they're nice. Amen? No. Whoever puts their trust in what God did will forever have eternal life. Now, I want to go just a little bit farther because sometimes we stop right there. The next verse says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Duh! He didn't come here to beat up people, to make us feel guilty and all kinds of bad. God loves the world, and He didn't send His Son here to condemn the world. Right? Where does it say that? In the Word of God. By the Word of God. But that the world, through Jesus, would be saved. Wow. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning. You all heard that? Amen? I was loud enough. You know it enough. I emphasized it enough. Now, I'm going to ask you to do some obedient hearing this morning. And if you have never put your trust in that loving, non-condemning God in Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do that today. Forget what the feeling is. Forget what the world says. Put your faith in the fact of God's Word. If you've never done that this morning, I'm going to ask you to. Dave Bowman is going to be up here as one of your elders. I'll be up here. Come up and say, man, Brother Steve, I've just gone on feelings most of my life. Don't want to go on feelings anymore. It's too deceptive and too destructive. And I want to make sure this morning that I am putting my faith in the fact of God's Word, because it is the only basis God's word is the only basis for faith. Faith not based on God's word is excited hope. And that's really all that it is. Isn't that what we saw today? So you come. If maybe you're thinking, wow, you know, that's something fairly new to me. I've never operated that way, even though I put my trust in Jesus. Even though I've accepted Him as my Savior, but I've never followed through with that, really. Never understood faith and the Word of God in that relationship. And you want to pray with us, you come up. However God moves you into obedient hearing this morning, let's do what He says. Amen? Let's all stand as we share our last hymn of invitation. If you would, please bow with me. Father, we come before You as Your children. We come before You, God, as people that get sidetracked. Not always do we listen to the right voice. God, this morning, before we leave this building, I ask, God, that You would allow us to be obedient hearers, putting our faith in Your word, and responding, God, to what You have for us. God, I ask that You would speak to each one of these. Father, many are matured, spiritual brothers and sisters that may just need a prayer, may just need a word of encouragement. Whatever it is, Father, would You take care of it through Your word this morning? And God, as we leave this building, we'll be sure to give You all the glory in Jesus' name.